Radio Prague News.
Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek wants the country to contribute 1.5 billion euros towards aiding the eurozone, Novinky.cz reports. Defense Minister Alexandra Vondra is in favor of extending Czech soldiers' involvement in Afghanistan to 2014. And President Václav Klaus has attacked academic criticism of planned higher education reforms as insincere. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek wants the country to contribute a sum of 1.5 billion euros, or 38 billion crowns, towards aiding the eurozone, the website Novinky.cz reports. He intends to make the proposal for a loan to the IMF to the government on Wednesday. The money would come from the foreign exchange reserves of the Czech National Bank, which would receive a guarantee from the government. In the proposal, Mr. Kalousek states that the Czech Republic has netted 175 billion crowns from the Monetary Fund since 2004, and he would consider it indecent and immoral to refuse to participate in the loan. EU leaders have agreed to bolster the euro with a 200 billion euro loan to the IMF. Eurozone countries have only committed 150 billion thus far. Czech Defense Minister Alexandra Vondra has told the Czech news agency ČTK he is in favor of Czech soldiers' involvement in Afghanistan being extended until 2014. The mandate for their current presence there will expire at the end of 2012. Mr. Vondra made the statement before arriving in Washington for talks with U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta. He did not go into details about the strength of the future contingent, but allowed that helicopter crews could remain as well as training specialists, while Czech special forces would terminate their mission this year. The U.S. itself wants to withdraw its forces by 2014 if local conditions allow, ČTK notes. Currently, the Czech Republic has some 600 troops in Afghanistan. President Václav Klaus has attacked critics of planned higher education reforms, saying they were playing the academic freedom card insincerely. Speaking to Czech radio on Tuesday, the president said he was outraged by the reactions of academics to the proposals, which he said were essential. The issue, he said, was about state schools that the state had the right to make decisions about, and academics should not fight against tuition while seeking independence from the state. Students and professors hold that the reforms limit the institution's freedoms by increasing the influence that politics and business have on science. Deans of public colleges are discussing their concerns with the education minister, Josef Dobeš, on Tuesday. Former diplomat and historian Miloš Pojar died unexpectedly on Monday, the website Lidovky.cz has reported. Mr. Pojar was an editor for the publishing house of the Academy of Sciences and wrote a number of books on Judaism and Israel, but was banned from publishing his own work during the Soviet occupation. After the fall of communism, he served as the country's first ambassador to Israel, a post currently held by his son, Tomáš. He was 71 years old. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly cloudy, with daytime highs just above the freezing point. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, will Czech troops continue to serve in Afghanistan until the end of 2014? We'll have details on the defense minister's plans. Also, Tomáš Berdych faced Rafael Nadal in their quarterfinal at the Australian Open. Find out how he did. And then stay tuned for a new edition of Czech History, which looks at the oldest site of agricultural plowing in the Czech lands. That's all ahead. Czech troops may stay in Afghanistan until the end of 2014. Defense Minister Alexander Vondra, who is in the United States on a working visit, said he would ask the Czech Parliament to extend their mandate by another 24 months, as their current mandate will expire by the end of this year. However, the opposition has criticized Mr. Vondra for announcing his plans without a prior debate in the lower house. Jan Richter has the details.
The Czech Republic now has around 600 soldiers serving in NATO's mission in Afghanistan, down from some 700 troops present in the country in 2011. The Czechs run the provincial reconstruction team in the Afghan province of Logar, and the Czech presence includes a chemical and biological protection team, a unit which trains helicopter pilots for the Afghan military, a field medical team, as well as a special forces contingent. Their current mandate will expire by the end of the year, which is why Czech Defense Minister Alexander Vondra announced on Tuesday he would ask the country's parliament to extend the troops' mandate by another 24 months. Speaking in Washington ahead of talks with U.S. Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, Mr. Vondra said training local units will remain the Czech troops' main focus.
I expect that in the spring I will ask the government and parliament to approve another two-year mandate for our troops. Now, I'm not ready to talk about numbers, but I suppose our helicopters might yet go back, as our special units are only staying until the end of the year. I think we will keep focusing on training. That's the most important thing, because that's the prerequisite for the Afghans to take care of their own security.
The issue is likely to be a controversial one on the House floor. If agreed by the coalition government, the minister's request should be approved by the Czech lower house, where the coalition parties have a majority. But the opposition says Mr. Vondra is giving Czech allies in NATO a carte blanche. Jan Hamáček is a Social Democrat MP and the party's shadow defense minister.
We are very concerned about this statement because we think that such important statements should be made after a thorough debate at least in the parliament. And this wasn't the case, and this is in a way a carte blanche given by Minister Vondra to our allies and to the Afghani government. And I think that we would rather expect him to come with a proposal how the Czech army should gradually hand over its tasks and responsibilities to Afghan security forces. So he should come out with an exit strategy for the Czech army from Afghanistan.
At a meeting with the U.S. Secretary of Defense in Washington on Tuesday, Minister Vondra would also like to finalize a deal that would allow Czech companies to compete for U.S. military contracts. Mr. Vondra will also meet with several American lawmakers, including Republicans Richard Lugar and John McCain, as well as the Democrat Carl Levine, during his two-day visit to the United States.
Thanks there to my colleague Jan Richter on the plans by the Czech defense minister to extend Czech involvement in Afghanistan, as well as about the defense minister's working visit to the United States. If you'd like to comment, if you have an opinion on Czech involvement in Afghanistan, please write to us here at the station. The address is english@radio.cz on the internet. Now, though, we turn to this. Men's world number 7, Tomáš Berdych, had been having a great season so far, recently winning, for example, the Hopman Cup in Australia with women's player Petra Kvitová. But on Tuesday, he faced an even bigger challenge, trying to get past Spain's Rafael Nadal at the Australian Open. If he could, he would reach his first ever semi-final at that Grand Slam tournament. And here's how it turned out. The first two sets could hardly have been closer. In the first, both players kept serve to take it down the wire, and in the final game before the tiebreak, Berdych had a commanding 40-love lead before Rafa fought back to win. But Berdych was able to keep enough pressure on in the tiebreak to win the first set, so there he was, one set up. In the second, though, things soon began to sour for Berdych, who saw his serve broken for the first time in the match. The Czech was still able to dig deep and tie things at 4-4. For the second time in the match, the set came down to a tiebreak as nail-bitingly tense as the first. This time, however, the Spaniard Nadal prevailed. In the third, both players broke serve back-to-back, and the match was soon leveled at 2 games each. So far throughout the contest, Berdych had been able to rely on a strong first serve, and he repeatedly punished Nadal on the Spaniard's second serve. But Nadal was more than able to answer at key points and broke Berdych's serve again. And it was at this point, as Australian Open Radio reported, that Berdych began to lose the thread of the match. Nadal served out the third set, taking a commanding 2-1 lead, and here's how AOR described it.
Just clears the net. Nadal down the backhand wing. Berdych throws up the lob. Nadal will smash. That's a brilliant smash. He bounces up and down. He punches the air. And that was a quick set. That was only 53 minutes.
Well, lots of emotion there, as you could hear after that. Things slipped further away for Berdych. He clung to remain in it. possibly also fighting a hip muscle pull, and he never fully regained his earlier brilliance. The death blow was falling behind in the final game on his own serve. Nadal broke serve one last time, and the final score shortly after midnight in Melbourne was 7-6, 6-7, 4-6, 3-6 in Rafael Nadal's favour.
It's midnight, the witching hour. Nadal with match point. He goes down the line, and that's a winner by Nadal. A match he looked so vulnerable in the second set tiebreak. He has come through.
By winning, Nadal set up a clash with classic rival Roger Federer of Switzerland. As for Berdych, in the end, the Czech player had his moments in the match. He will especially rue the tiebreak loss in the second set. And Czech fans' attention will understandably now shift greatly to the other Czech hope at the Australian Open, world number two, Petra Kvitová, who will face Italy's Sara Errani in their quarterfinal. And if she can keep her championship hopes alive, Kvitová also has a shot at becoming the women's number one. Now we turn to Czech history. The Prague district of Bubeneč in the bend of the Vltava River is a quiet, mostly residential part of town and a scene of continuous archaeological discoveries. People have been living in the area since at least the 5th millennium BC, when the phenomenon of agriculture began to spread through Central Europe. Only last year, the district made the international news with the discovery of an atypical burial site from the ancient corded ware culture. Now, archaeologists working on the site of the new Canadian embassy have found what appears to be the earliest use of agricultural ploughing in the Czech lands. In this episode of Czech History, Christian Falvey speaks with Petra Maříková-Vlčková, one of the members of the archaeological team.
As you probably know, this part of Prague is extremely interesting, not only for prehistorical, but also for, let's say, early medieval archaeology. And since the half of the 19th century, when actually this part of Prague has been, let's say, more densely populated and the street structure has been stated, since then we know that there are archaeological finds there. But what was really unexpected was the amount of archaeological situations we have found there, because we found almost 2 meters of intact archaeological deposits, which is not only for Prague, but for, let's say, Central Europe, quite unexpected. So that's why we are talking about, let's say, a tell of Bubeneč.
A tell, which is usually associated with
Near Eastern
the Holy Lands or
Well, Near Eastern archaeology, let's put it this way. Actually, tell is derived originally from Arabic, and it means as a hill. In archaeology, it's used as a term for, let's say, a settlement hill with deposits that are caused by, let's say, human activities. In the Near Eastern archaeology, is almost everywhere. Let's say it's spread all around the countryside, and it composites mainly of mud bricks, dried sun-dried mud bricks that just decomposed, and then when the people returned to the place, to the spot, they built on top of this, let's say, destruction, and another layer came above. In Europe, it's a little bit different, because we don't have here, of course, the sun-dried bricks, because it's much more muddy here, and also it rains much more, so to use sun-dried bricks, it's useless, because they would melt. So,
but people have been building with stone here for thousands of years.
But mainly not stone, because stone was expensive material, because it also took time to adjust the stone to, let's say, construction stone material. So they use daub and wood and those kind of construction material. Evidence for those constructions we also found at Bubeneč. So that's why we were thinking that actually the tell of Bubeneč consists more or less of waste.
What is it about Bubeneč that was so attractive for people over the last 5,000 years?
Well,
or more, much more, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, well, the first inhabitants we know of were the first, let's say, Neolithic, the first farmers. So yeah, we are somewhere in the 6 millennium BC. Definitely it's because of the climate, probably the mild climate, the very arable land that is there, and also the nearness of Moldau, the river Vltava. So yeah, those were probably, let's say, the most beneficent factors.
And so what you found in this hill was several layers of human settlement from all the way from the Neolithic through the Celts and Germanic tribes.
Actually, the situation is a little bit different. What we found there is actually the lowermost level belongs to the Neolithic. Then we do have information that some inhabitation got there in Neolithic, let's say, Chalcolithic in the terminology used in the Mediterranean archaeology. Then we do have Bronze Age and the, let's say, first half of the Iron Age. And then actually our information stop because the topmost levels is a level of more or less 20 centimeters with really mixed up material, also later material like Celtic or Roman period. But it's melted up everything, including most recent material. So what we think is actually that when at the beginning of 19th century, when this part of Prague has been settled and new buildings have been constructed there, they actually cut down part of the tell, the upmost level, and they use it for, let's say, kind of levelation building activities. So yeah, very probably the settlement originally had been continuous since Neolithic up to very probably early medieval time. But what we found on our spot was just up to the Hallstatt period. And then the intact material stopped and we do have just these disturbed archaeological contexts.
Now, at the lowest level, you found the earliest evidence of plowing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, some of the earliest, because so far, because the excavations ended just at the beginning of November, so we do have just like 2 months for pre-evaluation. So we took, of course, the samples for C14 dating, but we don't have so far the data. So yeah, probably some of the earliest plowing we have found there. And as far as our archaeological knowledge is concerned now, we probably can date those plowing traces or plowing marks at the beginning of the Neolithic period, so more or less 3500 BC, but this is really preliminary.
How important a find would that be if you found that it was even just several hundred years older than previous plowed fields?
Well, to be honest, for the Czech archaeology, it would double the so far known sites with plowing marks from this particular period. So yeah, it is of extreme importance. What also is very important for this part of archaeological knowledge is that actually we don't have these crisp-wise plow marks, which are usual for this period. We do have only linear parallel marks, which usually are sought as a kind of ritual behavior, which were usually done just below the burial mounds of this period. And what is interesting in Bubenec is that we don't have any traces of any burial mound there. So we might suggest that actually there were probably two kinds of plowing in this period, this crosswise, which was probably much more effective, and this, let's say, more ancient linear plowing, which had been found in Bubenec.
What kind of rituals are we talking about when
who knows?
No one knows. So why is it called ritual plowing?
Well, because it was usually found below burial mounds, and we might suggest that actually when you want to bury somebody below the ground, you want to give him the possibilities of eternal living. And for this, you have to, let's say, fulfill some conditions, like, for example, give him either blessing or some means of gaining subsistence. And this subsistence may be, let's say, symbolized by plowing, because crops were essential for these people. So that's why we probably may, let's say, tentatively say these plowing marks as ritual. On the other hand, we have to also say that when archaeologists don't know what something means, then he calls it ritual, and you have answer for almost everything.
Well, lastly, what do we know about the people who left these furrows?
Well, we don't know much, to be honest. If we assume that actually the plowing marks belong to the early Neolithic period, then we might suggest that actually it belong to people that were much more advanced than Neolithics. They were able to grow much more crops, much more efficiently. So probably also the density of population increased in those times. And what is much more interesting and important is that those people were already able to melt bronze or copper objects. So in those days, actually, the hierarchy of society arose, and it was much more, let's say, complicated. And also the first, let's say, long trade contacts with the Mediterranean area have been built up. So yeah, it was quite, for me, it's quite an interesting period of time.
That was Petra Maříková-Vlčková ending that edition of Czech History with Christian Falvey. She's the member of an archaeological team who was talking there about the earliest use of agricultural plowing in the Czech lands. And that takes us to our final feature for this day, which is another episode or edition of the ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková and Kamila Rosolová.
Hello and welcome again to the ABC of Czech. My name is Pavla Horáková and today I'm here with Kamila Rosolová.
Dobrý den.
We've reached M in the alphabet and our topic for today is money. Although the Czech Republic plans to start using the single European currency in a few years' time, the country still uses its national currency, the crown, or
koruna.
The crown is made up of 100 heller. There is no such thing as one heller or
haler.
If you come to the Czech Republic, first of all, you will probably need to find a bank or
banka,
where you could exchange your money or
peníze,
or your travel checks,
cestovní šeky.
You can also look for an exchange office,
směnárna,
which are plentiful in Prague, but outside big cities you can find yourself in difficulty. You will want to know the exchange rate or
směnný kurz,
or the commission,
provize,
at the bank or exchange office. The easiest way to get your money is to find a cash machine or
bankomat
and simply withdraw Czech crowns. Most big shops and restaurants in the Czech Republic take credit cards,
platební karty,
which are becoming more and more popular in the country. There are a few sayings and idioms containing the word
peníze
or money. About greedy people, Czechs say
je na peníze,
literally he or she is after money. Dirty money is
špinavé peníze.
And to launder money is
prát peníze.
Czechs also say
peníze nesmrdí,
or money doesn't stink, a saying that comes from Roman times, and which is to say that however dirty the job, the money you get for it in the end is always just money. Another rhyming saying is
bez peněz do hospody neléz.
Literally, it means don't go to the pub without money. I leave you now to contemplate the depths of Czech folklore, but before that, let me remind you that you can find all previous editions of the ABC of Czech, both in sound and text, on our website. That's www.radio.cz/English. And this is all from me, Pavla Horáková.
And Kamila Rosolová.
Nashledanou.
another edition of the ABC of Czech, this time with Pavla Horáková and Kamila Rosolová. The letter M, and why does that make me think of the crash test dummies? That's about all we have time for this day. We want to thank you so much for joining us. I'm Jan Vellinger for all of us here at Radio Prague. Take care and join us again soon.